In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen.
Alleluia.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia.
Yeah, you remember. We'll try that again, because it sounds like it was really strong here and really weak on that side. Christ is risen.
Alleluia.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia.
You're going to have to get a lot better at that, because you know that this night, that's all we say during the sermon. That's all we say over and over again. And Father wants to see if he can fool you to see if you don't know that. Did you know that, Zayla? Do you know what happened tonight? Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
Now you got to say it. He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
Man, is this the only time that Zayla's not talking? Man, thanks be to God. Maybe after you're baptized, you'll just not be able to be stopped in that way. Thanks be to God. What a great grace it is to be able to have such a beautiful liturgy here tonight, and to see our young men who've performed so well, our young ladies. Thank you for your voices that you've lent it so well in these adverse circumstances. Thank you, Miss Stella, for the music today, and all you who spent so much time cleaning this church, taking everything down, making sure that we had such a beautiful Stations of the Cross, the liturgies that were here today. This is the most beautiful liturgy that we have in the entirety of the liturgical year is now, is this moment, is what you all are experiencing here. And if this is the first time you've ever done so, I'm sad for you that it's the first time, but I'm happy that we're able to share it at this time. Don't make it be the last. This is the liturgy to go to. Everything else that we do for the rest of the Easter season, yay, even for the entirety of the whole year, is lived in the shadow of this particular Mass. That's why it's called the Mother of All Vigils, and I'm not making that term up. That's literally what it says in our Missal. It says, the Mother of All Vigils tonight. This is it. This is the Mass of the Resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we celebrate this Mass today? Do you know? That's right. Because Jesus is risen.
Hallelujah.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
Okay, let's keep up. It's not yet midnight. So I want to share with you a little bit in the Psalm response today. The Psalms, we had so many beautiful Psalms today, didn't we? Such great psalms. And Psalm 138 has something that's really important. And I want to go through the whole of Psalm 138 because it really helps us to understand the sacraments that we're about to receive during this Mass. So what does it say? It says, I arose and I am still with you. You have set your hand upon me. I arose and I am still with you. You have set your hand upon me. Psalm 138. You see, from the ancient times of the church, this Easter Mass has begun with those words. In Latin, it would have been resurrexi et aduc tecum sum. I arose and I am still with you, for you have set your hand upon me. These are the first words that the church puts within the mouth of the Savior, the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ, who speaks to the Father after his resurrection. These are the words that he goes to the Father and he says, I arose and I am still with you, and you have set your hand upon me. Our Lord Jesus, he spent 3 days, 3 nights there within the tomb. But Jesus and the Father were never for a moment separated. Not for a moment could they be separated. The Father always upheld him, even though he was in the darkness of the tomb, even though he descended into the depths of the earth, into the grave of Sheol. And thus our Lord could rise again, because God the Father's hand was always upon his Son. Psalm 138 is all about the wonder at God's omnipotence and his presence. When you go to holy hours, when you spend time with the Lord Jesus there, pray this psalm, Psalm 138, because it's all about that. It's a hymn of trust in God, who never lets us fall from his hands. It teaches you and I what? That God's hands are absolutely secure, that they're strong, that his hands are always there to hold us and to take care of us, to bring about our good. Listen to the rest of the psalm. This is verse 8 through 12. Verse 8 through 12 of Psalm 138 says, if I ascend to the heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths of the earth in Sheol, still, Lord God, you are there. If I take upon the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand it shall lead me, and your right hand it shall hold me fast. If I say, let only darkness cover me, even darkness, O Lord, is not dark to you, for darkness is light with you. What Jesus did is he made this journey to the ends of the universe for our sake. This isn't something that just happens in a psalm in this way. Our Lord Jesus actually does that for us this night. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9 and following says that. It tells us that Jesus descended in the depths of the earth and rose far above the heavens so that he might fill all of creation. That's what our Lord does. In this psalm, Psalm 138, all of this is fulfilled. In the impenetrable gloom of death, Christ came to become our light. In the night, When he is there, it becomes as bright as day. And that darkness is not dark to God because he is the light of the world, the light of the universe. In this Psalm 138, it is as though Jesus is speaking to the Father. And he's saying, yes, my Father God, I have journeyed to the uttermost depths of the earth, to the abyss of death I've gone, and brought them light. And now I have risen, for I am forever upheld by your hand, my Lord and my God. But in these words, it's not just that Jesus is talking to his Father, but it is also that Jesus is talking to you and I who are here today living within this world. And he looks at you and I in this time, and he says, I arose, and I'm still with you. My hand, it still upholds you. That whenever you may fall, you will always have my hands there with you because I am present to you. Even when you are knocking at the very door of death, I'm still with you. Where no one can accompany you any further, where you can bring nothing, even of yourself, even there, I am waiting for you. For you, I will transform darkness into light. That's what our Lord says to you and I within the psalm. And it's so true for you and I, because even if you and I fly through the blackness of space, through the mystery of things that are unknown, in the depths of the seas, through the terror that goes on within your life and mine that seems like it's absolutely hell here on earth, God never abandons us, because he's right there with us to uphold us with his right hand. And that's the message of this Easter season that tells you and I what? It tells you and I that Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
Okay, MJ, I'm going to be looking for you next. We got Zayla talking. MJ, you're next. We're going to baptize you too. This psalm, what does it do? It explains to you and I, Psalm 138, what happens at baptism. How many of you are going to be baptized here tonight? Just the two of you? Okay, just the two of you, MJ and Zayla. In baptism, this psalm speaks everything about what's going to happen to you, because baptism, it's more than a bath, right? It's more than merely a purification of your souls to set you free from that attachment to sin in which you were born. It's really even more than becoming a part of a community. What does baptism do? It is a new birth. Baptism is a beginning of life anew again. Romans chapter 6, which we had here within the Mass spoken for us, speaks about that. Gloria read that passage for us. Romans 6 tells us that in baptism, we have all been grafted onto Christ by a likeness of his own death. That in baptism, we do what? We give ourselves to the person of Jesus Christ. And what does he do? He unites us to himself so that we can no longer live our lives for ourselves. But everything we do is what? Through him and with him and in him. We say that in the Mass, don't we? Through him and with him and in him. That is your life after today, MJ. That is your life after today, Zayla. All through him. In baptism, what we do is we surrender ourselves to God. We place our lives in the very sure and strong hands of our Lord Jesus Christ. Baptized, we can say with Paul, it is no longer I who live, but rather it is Christ who lives within me and the life which I now live in the flesh. What? I live my faith in the Son of God who loves me and who gives himself up for me. This is what St. Paul teaches us. This is what our faith teaches us. If we give ourselves to Jesus Christ, if we accept baptism as a death to ourselves, then what? Death no longer has power over us. If we give ourselves to Jesus Christ, then either side of death on which we exist, whether on this side or on that next side, we are with Christ. And so death, all it does is change how it is that we are with Christ. And so in Christ, if we are baptized, there is no reason to fear anything about death. Because all our life is Christ, whether now or in the future, whether through a difficulty or a hardship, does not matter. If our life is founded and secured in Christ, which is what baptism does for us, all we are is with Christ. St. Paul makes this all so clear to you and I. If we just look at the letter of Philippians, what does he say there in the first chapter, verse 21 and following? St. Paul says that for me, life is Christ, and to be with him by dying is a gain for me. Yet if I remain in this life, I still labor fruitfully. And I am so hard pressed between these two things, that is life and death. To depart from this life and to be with Christ, that is far better for me. But for me to remain in this life is better for you, because you need me. So brothers and sisters, we find here in the words of St. Paul that if Christ Jesus is our life, then life or death no longer makes a difference to the Christian, no longer makes any change in the being of the Catholic. As the psalm said, Psalm 138, verse 5, it says that behind and before me, you besiege me, O Lord. Your right hand, it is forever laid upon me. St. Paul says it again in a more beautiful way in Romans 14:7. He reminds us that no one lives for himself, And so too, no one dies for himself. For whether we live or we die, we belong to the Lord. So you who are candidates for baptism, Zayla and MJ, we're about to baptize you here in a few minutes. What is the new gift of baptism all about? What is this change about you? For now, after this baptism, MJ and Zayla, your life belongs to Christ. So from this moment, it means you can no longer live for yourselves. No longer for the rest of your life. As a result, we're never alone, even in death. We are always with Jesus Christ, who lives forever, who death could not conquer. In baptism, in Jesus Christ, we've already made a journey into the abyss of death because we die in these waters of baptism to rise to the fullness of life that he gives. We are always with him. In baptism, we've already made that journey into the abyss of death and drawn up into his love. We are freed so that we have no place for fear to dwell within our lives. What Jesus does is he holds us by his hands and he carries us wherever it is that we need to go, because he who is our life is guiding us beyond all waters that could ever attack us within this life. The whole of the Easter season is all about living out the creed that we have. We say it over and over again in dramatic ways throughout the season. And when we say in that creed, we say he descended into hell. What happened there? What does that mean to say that Jesus, who is life, descends into hell? We don't know 100% what that looked like. We don't know fully what it was. But if you want to know a little bit more about it, it's about the bosom of Abraham. And if you don't know what that is, talk to Carson and talk to Rosie, because this week during class, you talked all about it, didn't you? I didn't teach it to you, did I? Somebody else did. You know what the bosom of Abraham is all about. That's the place where all the souls were waiting for God because they couldn't get into heaven, because the doors of heaven could not be opened up until Christ opened them up by his precious blood. The images that we have and try to conjure up for what Christ's triumph looks like are all inadequate. But even in their inadequacies, they teach us something about the beautiful mystery that is there. I have here one particular icon. You can't see it very well, but I blew it up down there so you could see it a little bit better. This is the icon that the East has of what it looks like, the harrowing of hell. What goes on within this? This liturgy uses Psalm 23 to speak about it, to help us to understand. What does it say? It says, "Lift up your heads, O gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, because the gates of death are closed and no one can return from there. There is no key to unlock those iron doors, but Christ who dies, he's the one who has the key." Jesus' cross, what it does is it opens up the gates of death so that they're barred no longer. His cross, his radical love for you and I, what it does for us, that's the key that opens up those doors of death. The love of the one who became man in order to die, he's the one who has the key to unlock those doors. Because what does it say in Song of Songs, chapter 8, verse 6? It says that love is stronger than death. Love is stronger than death. That is, Christ's love is stronger than death. The Eastern Church has this icon of the harrowing of hell to show us how the world of the dead looks like. What do we see within this icon image? We see that our Lord is here. He is clothed in light. He is light luminous from the very beginning, which is why you see that light emanating from him with all those stars and goodness that is there. As it says within Psalm 138, it says, the night is as bright as day, and the darkness is as light. Entering into the world of the dead, what Jesus carries with him, the stigmata. What's the stigmata? That's the sacred wounds. He bears with him all the wounds of the passion because he needs those to be able to conquer death. That's by his wounds, that by his sufferings, we have power. They are power, and they are the love that conquers death, those wounds, which is why our Lord refuses to let them pass away from him for all of eternity. What does he do? We see him here greeting these figures who are here. It is there where he meets Adam and Eve. He reaches out to our first parents who caused all the mystery of sin to enter into our human nature. And he greets all the souls that are around, gathered around, all the souls from all time that longed for salvation found in God, hoping that in some way that God would send his own son so that there would be a redeemer and they could be unlocked and be set free to enter into the mystery which God had promised to those who put their trust in him. Their prayer and the prayer of all those souls within the bosom of Abraham was constantly what Jonah prayed in the belly of the well. Jonah chapter 2, verse 2, where he says, "Out of the belly of Sheol, I cried, O Lord, and you heard my voice. I cried, O Lord, from the depths of this darkness." But in the incarnation, Jesus Christ became the one with humanity. He became one with Adam in his fallen nature. But only at this moment, when love takes him to the very depths of the earth, does Jesus Christ bring the journey into the incarnation to its completion. It's by Jesus' death. Now what does he do? He clasps the hands of our first parents, Adam and Eve. And every soul that awaits the freedom that is found within his love. Jesus died to bring souls in darkness to that light that never fades. And from there, he carries them out of the bosom of Abraham, out of the valley of Sheol there, and carries them into the glory which was prepared for them. So what does this all mean for you and I? If the human soul was created to be immortal, then what did Jesus do that was new for you and I? All of us have an immortal soul, meaning that our soul will exist forever, either with God or apart from him. But man, by his own powers, is never able to reach up to God. He can't rise up to that height. We don't have the wings to be able to fly up to God, to be with him forever. But nothing except being with God can ever satisfy the longing of the human heart eternally. And an eternity without God would be an eternal punishment, because we know we're made for something so much more in the depths of our being. We yearn for something that we can't accomplish on our own. And so that's why the psalmist says, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, please hear my voice. It's only then that the risen Christ can bring us into union with God. It's that Jesus carries us on his shoulders just like the lost sheep that we are to bring us home. Tonight, here within this mass, MJ and Zayla and all of you are here to witness the resurrection. Cling to his resurrected body. Cling to his life. Because if you do this, you will have life. If you cling to Jesus tonight in communion, then you will reach the very heart of God. This is the only way in which death can be conquered, the only way which we can be set free from death's domain, as we sang in that beautiful exalted hymn to the candle. This is the joy of the Easter vigil. The joy is that we are set free. That in the resurrection, love has been shown to be stronger than death. That love has been shown to be stronger in your life and in mine, greater than evil. That love made Jesus descend. And the love by which he is ultimately able to ascend and to carry us with him. Love is the power by which Jesus brings us with him into newness of life. And so in union with this love, we can be carried aloft on those powerful wings of love. As persons brought by love, let us descend with Jesus Christ into the world's darkness, which we will go into after we leave this church once again. And if we are with Jesus Christ, then we know that we will also rise with him to the fullness of life. On this night, then, we pray, Lord, show us love which is stronger than hatred. Show us a love that is stronger even than death. Lord God, descend into the darkness of the abyss of our dark times. Please, God, take us by the hand as we wait now for your love. Bring us to that light. For I know that I am lost in my own darkness in these nights. Be with me and bring me forth out of them. Help me, O Lord Jesus, help all of us to descend with you into the darkness of all those people who are still waiting for your love, who out of the depths cry out to you. Help us to bring each of them into your light, to say that yes to your love, the love that makes us descend with you. And so in doing, we may also rise with you to the fullness of life for which you made us. Because this night is the night when you do something which you do that transforms the world. Because this is the night when death's domain is harrowed and life is given, because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. MJ, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Happy Easter. Let's baptize these kids. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.